Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tuesday night office hours. Just sneezed. So hopefully I'm cleared up here. So here's how we roll, y'all. No appointment needed on office hours. If you'd like to be coached, all you have to do is raise your hand. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, use the chat. Make sure you are talking to all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, I'm the only one who will see your comment, and I don't check the chat very often. If you have a question for me that's pretty easy and doesn't require a lot of back and forth, you can just hit the Q&A. But I always like to talk to you. So if it's your jam to come in and talk to me, that would be fantastic. So we're going to get started. I have Kathy and then Carolyn so far with hands raised. So, Kathy, I'm promoting you right now. All right. Just got a bunch of hands up. That's awesome. Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Good. So, So I just joined in September. Before for about 6 months. And I've lost about 33 pounds, so I feel like I'm doing well. However, I've started this whole foray into journaling because of going through No BS.
Yeah.
And, it's bringing up a lot of issues, and it's like every day is a new issue. So my head's kind of like spinning because it's like this problem, now this problem, now this problem. So I guess maybe I can just get some help unpacking all of it. I'm kind of like on day four of like consistently overeating and not following my plan, whereas before I was doing that much better. So yeah.
So is that related to the journaling?
Maybe because I like am more aware and I'm writing down reasons. You know, so even while I'm doing the overeating, it's like, oh, okay, this is probably what I'm going to journal about later. You know, I don't know. So, yeah.
So which one do you want to work on? Do you want to work on the overeating or you want to work on the journaling? Or do you want to work on both?
I think what's come up recently is that I've kind of been like self-sabotaging because I've, you know, had some success. And then on Sunday, I had like two like non-scale victories in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I sort of like felt justified and was like, okay, it's okay if I overeat now, you know, because I had those things in the morning. And then the next day was more of like a fog eat. And then the day before that was more like my issues with like putting food on a pedestal, like we were at a party. There was a lot of homemade food and I was like, oh, this is special food. I'm never going to get it again. So I ate it. So there's just like all kinds of reasons.
Well, so what if we just say that you, you are questioning some of your food decisions over the past few days. And what if we look at it from a perspective of you are actually seeing food decisions that might not be working out for you? Whereas in the past, before September, these wouldn't have been an issue at all, right? You'd have just glazed over it and it would have been, party food was good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I wouldn't have looked in depth, you know, not done like the recovery and the journal and all that kind of stuff. So
what's so interesting to me is these kinds of things do tend to be related, the overeats and the journaling and the uncovering. And it's really a cool part of the process. If you think about it, you overeat, you do a recovery worksheet, you figure out that you have some crazy thinking going on. Corinne would call it bullshit thinking, call it what you want. And it raises your awareness. You know, I like that. It's a real coachy term, but it really just makes you see what you're thinking that's creating the urge to overeat. Or the urge to eat off plan, right? So with the party, it was probably, like you said, it was probably, oh, look, all this food I never get to eat.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Give me another example of when you self-sabotage. Oh, the non-scale victory. Oh, look, I deserve this.
Yeah, exactly. And I was having an afternoon at home with my son, and we were watching a movie, and he likes having a popcorn with movie, and I used to love having popcorn with a movie, so I want to join in. I don't want to miss out.
Sure.
You know, and it's like a connection time with him, and I'm just like, I guess, yeah, it's an uncovering of all the stuff that I just used to do before.
Right.
So it's like showing me, gosh, I have so many food issues.
Well, and here's the other thing I want to show. Well, let's go back to the popcorn for a minute. You could have planned the popcorn.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll think about that ahead of time next. But you don't have to have popcorn to connect with him.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You're right. Okay. Yeah. Catch that too. But back to, you've used the word issues a couple of times now. What if they aren't issues? What if you're just uncovering your patterns?
Covering patterns.
Yeah. What if they're not problems? Because they're not.
Okay.
What they are those things that you're beginning to see that create the urge to overeat or lead to the overeats. We can even go that far. Because that's really what you're doing. And that's really the core of what this program is all about.
Mm-hmm.
We can teach the four basics all day long. We teach them on the podcast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you join the tribe, you get the tools to learn why you're overeating or why you're not sleeping or why you're not getting your water in or why you're not, you know, planning.
Right.
All those whys that you learn and you start to clean up that create your path to goal weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really part of the reason why I wanted to join, because I just knew, like, you know, I'd gotten the basics down as a groupie pretty well. And then, I just knew like there was going to be stuff, you know, like, how am I going to get the next 70 pounds off, you know? So I'm going to really need help with this part. But
yeah, well, you know, everybody has stuff. Everybody has the, you know, the why they overeat, right? It can be as simple as, I'm just distracted when I eat. It can be that simple. Or it can be some deep, dark secret, or it can be anything in between.
Yeah, you know,
wasn't huge. Mine was, I was justified because all of my family is overweight. My dad weighed 400 pounds. It's in the genes. Justified.
Yeah. 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 So do I just have to work on, I guess my head is spinning because it's like, there's so many different patterns and that I've uncovered, and it's just like, I got to take care of all of them. You know, I guess I know I don't have to take all of them at once, but it's just, it's just sort of like, man, I got to really take one at a time, break it down, you know, and start fixing each one at a time. And if, I guess the other ones will have to be on hold or maybe I'll learn something by doing one of them, you know, like
that's exactly what will happen. You'll focus in on one particular pattern, and then you'll see how your solve for that pattern can be applied to some of the other patterns.
Okay.
You know, Corinne talks about eating ice cream. One of the first things she did was eat ice cream out of a, instead of out of a carton, she put it in a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
She probably did the same thing with pizza. Instead of eating it out of the carton, she put it on a plate.
Or
a bucket of fried chicken. Instead of eating it out of the carton, she put a piece on the plate, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
She probably saw that one area to up level and applied it to different areas. And I think that's what you'll find as well. As you break down, you know, one particular pattern that you see and make sure, well, you don't have to make sure it's a pattern. Just look at it from the perspective of how can I learn from this and how can I apply what I've learned to other areas.
Yeah.
So do you want to do one with me by example?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's. So I think the one that I guess maybe the self sabotage one is one that bothers me because, you know,
the non scale victories.
Yeah. Like I have I basically Sunday morning I like went shopping in my own closet. Like I got to put on all these old clothes again. It felt great. And then I was able to run around the gym with my 4-year-old daughter, you know, and not get winded. I mean, those were great things. And then I just like in the afternoon, I was like, I'll just eat this popcorn. Yum, yum, yum.
So when you go shopping in your closet, or you have another non-scale victory and you think, I deserve a treat.
Yeah.
Right? What's the feeling?
I deserve a treat. Yeah, I did write this one down. Let me find it. Okay, the circumstance was, let's see, what was that? Oops. Yeah, there was leftover, there was, did I don't know if I wrote that one down. I'm sorry. Well, it was sort of like the, I guess like the thought was like, oh, I'll be okay. You know, this is just a little popcorn. It's healthy. You know, that kind of stuff.
So are we talking about the popcorn, or are we talking about the non-scale victories, or did they both go together?
Oh, yeah. They were both together because,
okay.
Like, yeah, that morning is like, oh, I felt really positive feelings from my progress in two ways. And I thought, I mean, that was great. And then in the afternoon, you know, I just sort of like ate mindless, you know, ate because I didn't want to miss out. And I thought, ah, it's okay, you know, because I'm doing well, you know.
So what was the thought? I'm doing well, or something else? You said something else.
Yeah.
What was the thought?
I don't want to miss out.
I don't want to miss out.
Because I used to always eat popcorn during a movie before. So, and so this was
so
like
interesting. You're at home with your son and you don't want to miss out on popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the feeling?
I guess, yeah, like the FOMO, fear of missing out, or just like,
deprived.
Like that was my old life where I got to, enjoy food whenever I wanted, you know? Mm-hmm. Nostalgia. I don't know.
I'm giving you FOMO, and I put deprived.
Deprived, yeah.
Okay. So here's your model. Super simple. You had some non-scale victories.
Mm-hmm.
You had the thought, I don't want to miss out, meaning about the popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling this FOMO and deprived. And when you feel those, you just kind of rebel and you go off, eat off plan.
Yeah. It was like a rebellion, really. It was like, I'm just going to do it anyway.
What's that result say?
Yeah, miss out on weight loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't miss out on the popcorn.
No.
Because you chose to miss out on the weight loss instead.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's pretty much how that works. Super simple. I love the model. I'm going to teach you a trick. Do you do the models? You do some models, right?
Yeah, I've been doing some of them, yeah.
I'm going to teach you a trick. If you hear the thought, I don't want to miss out, and you feel a little FOMO, do you have to go directly to eating popcorn? Or can you stop at the FOMO and say, I'm just going to sit here and really want the popcorn, but it's not in my plan, and I'm staying true to my plan today, and I'm not going to eat?
I don't have a good track record of success doing that.
All right.
Yes.
But if you were to do that, that's called pausing the model. That means your model stops after the feeling line. And you can actually start a new model with a new thought that says something like, I'm staying on plan. I'm not eating popcorn today.
Yeah.
Which leads you to a feeling of success, empowered, crazy about empowered. But I guess that's, I mean, that I think that's overused, but it leads to some really positive self-promoting feeling. Right?
Yeah.
If you were to pause the model here with, well, I'd like to have some popcorn, but I'm staying on plan today. That, but I'm staying on plan today makes you a new model. Right? You see that? You see how that works?
I see it.
That's pretty cool. Your models don't always have to end down here.
Okay.
You can stop that model, you know, when you hear the thought or when you feel the feeling and say, you know what? I'm not letting it go to the action line. I'm not going to eat off plan. So what thought, basically, it's your brain saying, okay, so what thought can we access that keeps us on plan? And yours might be, I'm choosing weight loss this week.
Yeah.
Instead of popcorn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Have I lost you?
You just don't believe
you can do it.
Yeah, I don't believe I can do it, honestly.
But here's the thing. This action line right here, it's a choice.
Yeah.
It's not an automatic. It's a choice that you make. And once you begin to see that as a choice, then you feel more empowered in your weight loss journey.
Yeah.
You feel like, I got this. That's when you hit stage three. I got this. I don't have to eat the popcorn to feel connected. I don't have to eat the popcorn to watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens then.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have a good track record of like pumping the brakes and turning around and,
just because you haven't done it in the past doesn't mean you can't learn to do it. And the way it starts is that I guarantee you the next time your son says, "Hey mom, let's watch a movie. And will you fix me some popcorn?" You're going to think about this coaching call.
Yeah.
That's how it starts. You might still eat the popcorn, but you're going to think, Kathy said I could pause this model.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what she meant by that. Maybe I should listen again, but I'm going to have some popcorn first. And that's okay, because that starts the awareness going. That starts you really paying attention to what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
You going to listen to this again?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that help? Good?
Yeah, that helps. That's good. Thank you.
All right.
I guess I'll work on kind of things, patterns one at a time. And
I think I would. I think I'd work on the patterns one at a time and see how you can use what you learned.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye. All right, Carolyn, you're next. Hey there.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So in the past, we've talked about my work issues.
Okay.
I've found another one.
Okay.
Although I think I've done about six models today on it, trying to find my own way out of it.
All right.
So it's funny, listening to the last caller, I realized I tried to pause the model today in the middle of it, just like you were suggesting.
Yeah. Pausing the model happens, y'all. It's, sometimes what a lot of people do is they'll create a model that's sort of mixed up because they've actually paused the model and gone to a new one and they just left out the new thought part.
That's kind of what I did. So okay. I realized today that I was getting frustrated at work.
Okay.
Somebody was talking to me. They just weren't hearing what I had to say. Mm-hmm. And I started to tear up.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, they can have their opinions. We're going to move on. And I swallowed it. So I didn't cry, actually, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But later on in the day, my boss told me that same person went to him and said, "I'm too fragile to be in my role."
Okay.
Because they saw the tears. And sorry, we're tearing now, but it's hard to hear that they would pick out my emotions more than my actual work.
Does their opinion matter to you that much? Was it your boss who had that opinion or just some random person that you'd been talking to?
It was a random person, but I think it's more of them adding to the thoughts and I know I shouldn't be in my director's model, but it's more of adding to his model about me that it, like the hearsay that goes on of, oh, she teared up. She's not stable enough.
But did your director have a problem with you getting teared up?
So my director does. My boss doesn't. My boss understands it.
Okay. So which one are we talking about again? The boss?
It's more of my thoughts around the person's actions that I'm trying to work on. Like one of the models said, just accept it. He can have his opinion. I can just keep asking for help and doing the best I can. That's kind of where I ended, but it just felt crappy. And I know the model's supposed to feel crappy as you're working on the intentional ones.
Who told you that this person went to your boss and said you were fragile?
My boss.
Okay. Okay. So I'm trying to figure out the C line. What's the C line?
I basically said my C line was teared up when frustrated, and Mike told boss I was too fragile to be in my role.
I think that's the C line we need to talk about.
Yes.
Mike told the boss. Because that's the pain point. The pain point isn't that you teared up, right? The pain point is people are talking about you being fragile at work.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, I did really good. Like, I swallowed it. I didn't actually cry. Like, I thought I was doing really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike had also told my boss, she didn't used to be this fragile. I wonder what happened to her. Turns out they don't realize I've stopped eating my feelings. So
maybe that's what you should tell your boss. I'm going to cry more because I'm getting skinny.
Oh, no, I did. So he goes, you know, there's chocolate. I'm like, no, we're not going face down to that today.
That's right. I'm crying instead, doggone it. So what is your thought about Mike telling your boss you're fragile?
Well, my first thought was, asshole, really? You care more about my emotions than my actual job. When Mike I shifted it.
Cares more. No.
Yeah, I get you. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
When I went to the intentional, I'm like, he can think and say that I will be better in the long run for not eating my feelings and learning how to feel them and let them go and become better at controlling them. Well, maybe not controlling them, but I think I wrote controlling, but I meant like being able to feel them and not let them manifest as strongly.
I want to finish this unintentional model.
Okay.
Okay. Let's not hop to feeling good yet, because we need to see, I want you to see the result in your unintentional model. Okay. So Mike cares more about my emotions than my job. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yes.
Feeling. Feeling.
Angry and frustrated, okay. Either or.
And when you get frustrated about people at work, what do you generally do?
I used to eat.
Okay.
Now we tend to cry or try to do a TDL like you suggested previously.
So you disconnect for a bit?
Yes. I'm struggling with TDLing though at work. Because again, somebody came over one day and said, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, it's personal. I'll get back to what you need real quick. And they go, well, you really should be doing that at home. You're really not doing your job right. And it's just like.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else? Eat or cry is what I put. Journal, disconnect. Anything else?
No.
Okay. How do I want to say this? So this is the unintentional model. And I say that really clearly. It's the unintentional model. We talked about the thought, Mike cares more about my emotions than my job, and that's frustrating. Then you eat or cry and you journal. And you disconnect. The result is that you're not focused on the job. You're focused on the emotion. You're focused on Mike. You're focused on other things other than the job. Okay? Is this wrong? No, because you're managing your emotions. You're learning how to manage it. Is this how you want to show up at work? No. So what it's going to take is more work on this thought. And what kind of, just threw my pen. What kind of weight are you giving this thought at work? Why do you even care? What if we were to say, so what? Mike thinks I'm emotional at work. So what? Who cares?
That's a hard thought for me. Only because the one negative I was given this year was I'm too emotional to be promoted.
Yeah, okay. So
push that out has been hard.
So what? What's wrong with being emotional?
To me, nothing.
Right.
But it seems to be a negative.
Whose opinion, Carolyn, whose opinion matters?
Mine.
Yes.
I feel kind of silly not seeing this already.
does Mike's opinion matter, really, when it comes down to it? No. Are you getting the work done?
Yes.
But if you're down here, and you're in this action line disconnected, you're inefficient. You're creating inefficiencies because you're disconnected. So if you can let Mike have his thought and pause your model before you get too angry and frustrated. Oops, my finger's shaking. Before you get to angry and frustrated, then you've saved a lot of time at work. You can journal about it at home. You can stay in your zone at work and not give Mike a lot of emotional energy.
It's very good.
You're so insightful. Why, thank you.
You're so insightful.
What else? Got anything else?
You
want to talk about your intentional model?
you about summed it up. That was trying to get to acceptance. And then also, like, just keep doing what I'm doing, asking for help where I need it. I handed my boss my TDL today, which he goes, I like this paper. I want it.
Wow. He didn't care about the TDL. He liked the paper.
He liked being able to get in my brain, but he's like, this is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we get this, Mickey? You can't have it. I'm sorry.
One of the things we talked about a lot at camp this past weekend was other people's opinions and self-validation and how to empower yourself to show up, things like that. It's kind of an underlying current in just about anything that gets coached, really.
Yeah.
Is how do you want to show up and how can you validate yourself and feel good about yourself? Almost everything comes back to how you think about yourself. And if you were really okay with being emotional, Mike's all this stuff with Mike wouldn't matter. But you've got a sense that it's wrong because it's shown up somewhere. Somebody told you you know, the one thing, Carolyn, is that you're too emotional at work. Well, okay, I'm not a robot. It's me. Love me. I love myself. It's all okay. You know, if you get to that point, then all of a sudden, the crying doesn't happen at work when Mike says something, right? You know, you manage yourself because you feel good enough about yourself that you don't internalize it and feel the hurt over it.
It's very good advice. I will keep that in mind. I was trying to channel my Kathy today when I was doing my TDL going, get out of their model. It's not your model.
Well, that's so funny because we do say that a lot. We do say that a lot. And you know, Mike's allowed to have his models. And so is your boss.
That's kind of where I was trying to go with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's very interesting you say that I have to accept being emotional. Mm-hmm. And that it's okay. Like, I know it's okay on some level. I just wish it didn't happen at work, but maybe I'll get there with more working on managing it.
I am a crier as well, and I have spent 53 years being a crier. I emote, I don't know, good commercial will get me, you know? What was I watching the other day or telling somebody about? And I just started choking up. And it was, you know, it's just... I think I appreciate now. I used to be really angry that I would cry all the time. But I think
that's kind of where I was today.
Yeah. I think I appreciate now that I actually have the capacity to feel. You know?
That's interesting.
Maybe it's just all the work I've done personally, but I appreciate the fact that I know what happy feels like and I know what sad feels like. And I know all the gamut in between because for 53 years, I've actually felt these feelings. I come across people in PMP who don't know what feelings feel like. And, you know, you and I are on the other end of the spectrum. We know what these, you know, we know how to feel. You know, we know what sadness and hurt feels like, but we also know what happy and joyous and fulfilled feel like because we feel
like. Oh, yeah. I'm a happy crier too. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Feelings are a beautiful part of life if we allow them and accept them whenever they come.
Thank you, okay? Kathy.
You're very welcome. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Petra, you're next.
Hi.
All right. Let's see if we can get your video started, girl. I just sent you. There you are.
Hi.
You found me.
I did.
I'm so proud of you.
Well, I am so sorry about that. I think it was more of a panic. Usually I don't have access to any of my fun toys during the day. Mm-hmm. And this week I'm in a training, so I can, you know, do all the texting and stuff like that and not listen to the person talking and all that stuff.
Okay, tell everybody why you're here, because not everybody probably saw your Facebook post today.
Right. So today I had a little bit of a panicky, like, I am not even tracking anymore, or everything that I say I'm going to eat, I don't eat it at the time I say I'm going to eat it, or the quantities seem to be off. Either it's, I eat, like, you know, you're supposed to eat to minus two to plus two. Mm-hmm. And I will say most of the time, I feel like I'm at a zero or one, mm-hmm. but I fear, and I'm sure this is because of, I've been on a diet all my life, various diets up and down, you know, always up and down. I mean, severe, heavy, 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 and then light, you know. I also fear like, well, I can't just eat whatever I want, and I can't, you know, without measuring and all this other stuff. And so I realized too, the past couple of weeks, I kind of, I haven't listened to anything, you know, because I've been listening to other podcasts, and that is, I realized where I made the mistake. I was panicking earlier. Now I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't even know where to look for this meeting. Well, that means I didn't do my job. That's one. You see what I'm saying?
Good for you.
So two is like, I'm not really doing my job to the fullest if this is what I want. Mm-hmm. So I know that sounds so different from what I said this afternoon to the panicked of like, well, perhaps I should. I also, what I did was, I have such a long commute. I listened to all of that, all the BS things. Seriously, I did like up to week five in the first week. Mm-hmm. Did I really learn anything? Because I didn't really use it week after week and implement it. So I think that's what I'm going to do, is go back and maybe week one and two, module one and module two, I can do mm-hmm. over and do it really within a week and only focus on those two and then continue. But I still have this fear because I'm so used to measuring and weighing and this and that. And, you know, I'm eating foods I really don't want to eat. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So
wait, eating foods you really don't want to eat? What does that mean? I'm trying to take notes to figure out what we're going to coach on. So
a whole lot of crazy.
All right, Petra, we're going back to the basics. How's your water? No, I'm kidding. But what is this eating foods you don't want to eat? Does that mean you're eating off plan?
Yeah, that. And also too, like, then I'm like, well, you have to eat a salad. You know what I mean? Okay. You've eaten off plan. Now you got to eat a salad. And maybe I don't want what's in the salad, or I'm trying to incorporate more greens in my life. Like more green. Like, I don't like any greens really. You know what I mean? Like there's very few greens that I like, and that is not a healthy attitude. I get that. I understand that. But at some point,
stop judging what you like and what you don't like. This is the problem. I'm going way back to the beginning, because all you've talked about is, I feel like I need to be measuring, or I feel like I need to eat, or I feel like I should eat this or shouldn't eat that. You have like a buttload of diet mentality going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been dieting since the third grade.
Yeah. So. Well, stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
we're going to take all the rules and we're going to put them in Kathy's hands right here, and we're going to throw them out.
All right.
Because there's only four rules.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. You don't have to eat anything green if you don't like anything green.
Right.
You don't have to measure anything. You don't have to do any of that stuff. Have you seen my before and after?
No, I haven't actually.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I know the people on the call who are listening to the replay are not going to see this. But I'm going to show Petra that you can lose 80 pounds, this girl, by not weighing or measuring anything. Okay?
Yeah.
Can you see that? Or is it
too big a reflection? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, wow.
All right.
Good job.
I eat a salad now and then. Raw vegetables don't agree with me very well. They kind of make my stomach a little upset. So I don't eat them very often. I love cooked vegetables. Tonight, I made spaghetti and I chucked it full of yellow squash and mushrooms, because that's what I like. Okay. Right. Kept my 80 pounds off.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything green tonight. So that's what you do. When you narrow into the food that you like and that feels good in your body and creates results for you, you eat that two to two. That's when you layer in the hunger scale. So step one is to create a plan that you're going to follow, not one with a lot of diet rules on it, not one with a lot of foods on it that you're not going to eat. So like, what did you eat today? What'd you have for breakfast?
Well, because of this class, I
don't want any justifications or any judgments. I want to know just what you ate.
I didn't eat breakfast.
Okay.
And about 10 o'clock, I had a Kind bar.
Okay.
It's one of those like almondy. With,
yep.
I have to eat gluten-free. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then for lunch, I had, this sounds crazy, stewed apples. I made it myself. So it tastes
See, you just judged your food. This sounds crazy.
Oh.
Stop. Yeah. Stop that. Okay. Back to lunch. Stewed apples.
Some cottage cheese and a little bit of turkey.
Okay.
But I didn't like the turkey, so I stopped eating the turkey, but the cottage cheese and the apples compote or whatever the heck it is, that was satisfying.
Okay.
And then I came home and now I food prep because I live so far away. I have an hour and a half commute one way.
Mm-hmm.
So I do food prep on Sunday.
Okay.
But today, because I have the extra time and I'm closer to home, I actually made some stuff for my husband and they were like pork cutlets. So I had some of that.
Did you have a snack between lunch and dinner?
No,
no snack. Okay. So dinner was pork cutlets. What else?
And gluten-free macaroni and cheese. And in my head, I am judging so badly.
Yeah.
Because it's so unhealthy.
Okay. I want, just for fun, those of you in the chat, would you judge a Kind bar, stewed apples, cottage cheese, turkey, pork cutlets, and mac and cheese? Or does that sound like crazy food? Do you have anything else, Petra? I see a nope. Nope, sounds good. No, ma'am. Sounds healthy. Nope, no way. No, crazy. Okay. All those things. Okay? So they're judging your food, too. They're just doing a better job at it than you are.
I'm sorry. What?
Planned, if you had planned, if this was what your plan said today, you would have followed it 100%.
That is true.
Right? Because this is realistic. This is what Petra likes. This is what Petra prepped. I even put the turkey on there because you planned. I mean, if you had planned, even though you didn't eat it, it's okay. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So what? Tell me what's wrong with this.
Oh, I guess because, you know, from a diabetic, I'm not diabetic, but I have a endocrine system. I have an issue where I will be one of these days. I just, I need to try to hold it off as long as I can. Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So from that point of view, like the pork cutlets, you know, well, that's high in fat. Is that really good for your heart? The mac and cheese, well, mac and cheese, is that really healthy? Not really. There could have been better alternatives. I probably should have, in my head, I should have had some vegetables, or I should have done this, or I should have done that. But it would not have been enjoyable, if that makes sense.
I would offer to you that it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. That I would have eaten them, or?
Right. You could plan them all day long, but it sounds like you're not really going to eat them.
Yeah.
What you need to do right now is plan realistically.
Yeah.
So that you're eating on plan. The reason we do that, Petra, is so that you will learn how to be committed to yourself and to your plan.
Yeah.
I don't care if you have macaroni and cheese three times a day. And I don't care if you have put McDonald's three times a day. If you're going to stick to your plan, because that's the first step. You have to build that confidence in yourself that you can create a plan that you will follow. You have to stop judging what goes on the plan.
I think it's a wishful thinking. I think I always make plans that are more wishful thinking or the way I think it should go.
Yeah.
And not really who I am.
And like, it doesn't go.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. There's a rant that I'm going to put in the, I call it a rant, one of Corinne's best of. I think it's called a rant.
Yeah.
In the on the website, in the video replays.
Okay.
On realistic planning. And I'm going to put it in the show notes. In fact, if somebody really smart is on this live, on this Zoom, and wants to put it in the chat so that you can get it early, they can do that. Otherwise, I'll put it in the show notes and you'll have it when the call posts tomorrow sometime. Where Corinne talks about how important it is to start with that realistic plan. Because what you're doing, here's what's happening in your brain. I've got to create all this meat and vegetables because this is what I should eat. And by the way, I should measure it. And then when you don't follow that plan, not only do you not follow the plan, everything goes out the window. Right? It's very yes. all or nothing because of your diet mentality. So you have to start by creating a plan that you can follow. Then your brain gets a little bit of a little confidence boost that you can actually, you know, that you can carry this out. What's the next step? Oh, look, I got my water in today too. And I got my sleep. And maybe I'll really wait till -2 to have lunch instead of, you know, just eating because it's time. You know, that's when the layering in things start to happen because you've created some confidence that you're, that you can do that first step.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. And it sounds like something that I've heard before, probably even when I was doing the free stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I heard this.
Yeah.
But you know, until you walk in it.
Well, that's exactly right. I think her free course does talk about commitment.
Yeah.
And that's really, in fact, the orientation module has a great lesson on commitment in it. I was listening to orientation before the September people started. And I texted Corinne and I said, holy cow, I don't think I've ever listened to this before. This is good. And she's like, what did you expect, Kathy?
Right.
But really and truly, that's where it all starts, Petra. And if you can clean that up and stop, I want you to just hear yourself when you say, this isn't good enough, or I should be eating that, and stop yourself and say, no, wait, I need to be realistic today.
Right.
So
it just shows how out of sync I really am, if that makes sense. And I think that's the most shocking, that I am so completely out of sync of thought and action, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda.
Posted that link in there. You can copy it. The chat does go away after the call. But when we're finished, you can copy that link into your browser and go straight to that call.
Oh yeah, I've already copied and pasted. I'm good.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amanda. I appreciate you doing that. So let's just for fun create tomorrow's plan.
Okay.
So what do you think you'll do for breakfast tomorrow? Anything?
I probably will just do coffee, lots of coffee. Yeah.
I'm a lots of coffee girl too. Trying to cut back on the lots of coffee so I can sleep better at night.
And
are
then,
you having a snack before lunch?
I think I'm going to do a Kind Bar for a snack. That's nice. About 10 o'clock to get that snack in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A Kind Bar.
Will you be hungry at 10 o'clock?
Probably, unless I drink lots of coffee and lots of water.
Okay. So you'll have a Kind Bar if you're hungry.
Right.
Did you catch that? You'll have a Kind Bar if you're hungry.
If I'm hungry. Yeah, I got that.
What's lunch?
I probably will do the cream cheese. The cottage cheese and actually don't have any more apples. I finished that off. So I'll probably eat like real apple.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't too thrilled with the turkey today. So maybe if I mix it with, I'll make it like a rice, like I have like a little risotto thingy that's gluten free and mix it with and put turkey in that. That'd be good. I could do that. Risotto.
Okay. Risotto and turkey.
Yep.
I don't know how to spell risotto, but it's okay.
Yeah, neither can I.
Do you need to plan a snack for mid-afternoon? Do you ever snack mid-afternoon? Not a mid-afternoon snacker?
If I'm snacking, usually I don't snack, but if I am snacking, it's on like potato chips and it's because I'm anxious.
Okay.
It's
so you've pretty much wiped that out. You've figured that out and said, how do you deal with the anxious now?
I bite my nails.
Oh, okay.
Or I
new
try
weight loss technique. We're going to bite our nails instead of eating.
I know that's not good, but you know, sometimes I just still reach, I will plan for potato chips because that's just, I enjoy that crunch. But for tomorrow night, I'm going to have a taco salad because that's more fun. I like that. I can do that. And
what? That's got green in it. Are you sure?
Yeah, no, I don't mind that. That's okay. Salads are okay, but they were getting boring for a while. I was like, oh my God.
Have you tried a Big Mac salad?
No.
Okay. Do you remember the Big Mac jingle? 2 all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and sesame seed bun, right?
Yeah.
I browned some hamburger meat. In the skillet.
Yep.
And I build the salad based on the jingle.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the red onion and the pickles are amazing in the salad. And I use Thousand Island dressing.
Okay, I was going to say, what's your Thousand Island?
Yeah.
That sounds so good.
Michelle says ground turkey works too. Oh, yeah. I also, tell you, I don't know if you've heard the story, but my husband is kind of a little on the OCD side. I was putting tomatoes and cucumbers in mine because I love tomatoes and cucumbers in my salad. He's like, that's not in the jingle. Dude, back off the salad.
Right. This is my jingle.
That's right. It's my jingle. But that's a good one too. If you like, you know, fun salads, the Big Mac salad's a good one too.
That is fantastic. I love that idea.
Yeah. So, all right. That's your plan for tomorrow.
It is. I feel really realistic. Thank you so much.
Does it feel really good?
It does. It does. And me getting back into doing the work. I have to do the work every day and listen to something or do something and learn.
Well,
something.
And that was the other thing I was going to mention to you. You said you had listened to all the No BS. That's great. Next time you go through it, I want you to pause and do the worksheets that go with each model.
Right.
Because that will really help you bring a lot of this together.
Right. And I was doing it while I was driving. So I'm like, oh, I'll remember to do it. Yeah. That did not happen.
No. You tell yourself, I'm at the end of a module, so I don't start the next one until I've done these worksheets.
Yep. Fantastic. Okay? Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
I'm so glad you got on the call. Good.
I am too.
Job.
So thank you.
All right. We'll see you. Bye. All right, Madison, then Tammy. Wow, that was some kind of hot rod that just drove by, wasn't it?
Yeah, we've got the windows open. The weather's all right now, so.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What's up?
So I had posted about this in the Facebook group a couple weeks ago, and kept going back and forth whether or not to bring it to the coaching call, but I am in graduate school. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of anxiety and stress related to that, which translates into eating a lot of the time. Yeah, lately I've just been stressed with school and overwhelmed, and then just, you know, questioning what I'm doing in school, and probably not coincidentally not following my plans super well. I've still been making them, but not following them, and just, I think, more storm eating than I am acknowledging.
Okay. Well, let's talk about... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I know that stress and, you know, anxiety, like, these are thoughts and I'm just looking for advice and help there.
Sure. You've talked through a model that I'm writing down. So did you start in September as well?
Yeah, I started, I just joined in September. Yeah.
Okay. Have you done the Fat Girl Thinking module? Do you know about the model?
Yes, I have listened. So with the No BS, mm-hmm. I've been going through and I'll listen to it once on my way, you know, on my commute. Mm-hmm. And then I go back and listen to it again and do the worksheets. But because of school stuff, I've fallen behind. So I've listened to the Fat Girl Thinking, but I haven't done.
Okay. That's fine.
I'll
teach you what you need to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Anxiety and stress are feelings. Mm. Okay, they go in the feelings line of your model.
Yeah.
And when you feel those things, you question everything, right? And you eat. Mm-hmm. Anything else you do when you feel those things?
You
just kind of spin out, right?
Yeah, just spin out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what creates a feeling? Thought. So if I were to ask you, why do you feel stressed and anxious about grad school, what would your answer be?
Because I'm afraid that I'm not doing enough.
Okay. What else?
I'm afraid of falling behind mm-hmm. and of what I might be missing out by being in school.
Mm-hmm. Missing out on with P&P because you're in school or missing out of life?
And just in life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else? Anything else that causes you anxiety and stress?
I don't know what I'm going to do when I graduate, mm-hmm. which is still several years off.
So of those three, what's the one that stresses you the most?
I think the fear of what I could be missing.
Okay. So we'll put in, I'm missing out on life. On everything. How about that?
Yeah.
Missing out. On everything. So does that really create anxiety and stress, or does it create something else?
I think it creates anxiety, but also despair.
Despair.
Yeah.
I think it's despair. Yeah. I think anxiety a lot of times is, for me, anxiety obviously is diagnosed in some people. Mm-hmm. For me, when I think I'm feeling anxiety, I think I'm just feeling super nervous and emotional. I think anxiety, for me anyway, I'm sure don't want to, say this is the same for everyone, but for me, it's like that upper level feeling of I'm all stressed out and emotional, but there's really another feeling underneath there, something that's a little bit more dialed in. Mm-hmm. And for you, it might be despair. I'm missing out on everything. And when I think that, I feel sad. So despair goes along with that. And then when you feel despair, it's the same things that happen. You question yourself, you eat, you spin out, you basically get nothing done, right? Which means you're really missing out on everything, right?
Yeah.
So that's how the model works. What you do is you have a thought that creates a feeling. That feeling creates a bunch of actions, and the actions always have a result. And for you, that's what it is. You're worried that you're missing out. You stress yourself out about it and get super sad about it. You spin out. And guess what? When you're over here spinning out and eating, you really are missing out. Right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. This thought up here, mm-hmm. I know you're going to school.
Yeah.
And I know you're trying to lose weight. What else is going on in your life right now?
I'm getting married in May.
Okay.
So I'm planning a wedding.
Okay. So you're not missing out on having a partner?
No. Although I worried that I can't give enough time.
Mm. Well, that's worry.
Yeah.
Apparently this person you're marrying thinks that you're okay because you're getting married. I mean, maybe that's a stretch, but I doubt it. Right? Okay. What else is going on? Do you work?
No, I'm in school full time.
School full time?
Yeah.
Well, you're missing out on work. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. A little sidebar comment there.
Yeah.
Do you have friends?
Yeah.
You go out now and then?
Yeah, although I'd hang out with grad school friends more than mm-hmm. non-grad school friends, just out of,
So there is hanging out going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on a coaching call. You're doing your P&P work. Okay. Mm-hmm. What are you missing out on?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a grass is always greener, but like, I feel like I could be doing more, fun things, as I call them, like going to the movies or reading books for fun. Okay.
So could you plan some movie time and some book time into your day or your week at some point? Maybe during this time when you're not spinning out and questioning everything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the problem. I spin out and mm-hmm. then I don't have, I think on one of the podcasts, Corinne talked about when we don't schedule our own free time, we just end up going into a fog zone and doing nothing. And then we've spent all of this time. Yeah. And I definitely do. I play solitaire a lot.
Yeah.
To de-stress, but then it doesn't actually make me less stressed.
Yeah. And you're not creating any self-care time. You're not creating any time for yourself. Let me tell you something. This is like preaching to the choir. Okay. Because I am super guilty of this as well. I was just planning my day for tomorrow and I thought, I'm going to have to either speed up some of the work I need to get done, or I'm not going to be finished with work till about 8 o'clock tomorrow night. That's not cool. Yeah. You know, so it's exactly what you have to do. So if you stop telling yourself you're missing out on everything, because you just gave me a list of things that you're actually doing that aren't school related. And mm-hmm. there's probably more. And you start really, you know, if you, have you, did you do the time? When did you join?
September? September.
Okay. September. If you really do time block your day, what time do you get up?
Usually around 7.
Okay. What times do you go to class right after that? What time is class?
Yeah. Most days I don't have anything until noon.
So what do you do between 7 and noon?
I tell myself I'm going to go to the gym, but I don't usually. But I wake up and make my coffee and grab overnight oats or whatever I have for breakfast and go straight to campus to get work done before class.
Just like homework and studying and stuff like that?
Yeah. Mostly just reading for classes, or, you know, I have a big research paper due at the end of the semester. So just away at that.
Okay. So are you pretty productive during that time?
Yeah, I have been this semester.
Okay. So then you go to class at noon. And then what happens after that?
After that, I have lunch and I eat at my cube. Mm-hmm. And then I have another class at 3. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's 2 hours.
Yeah.
Right? Does it take 2 hours to eat lunch? What else are you doing in that 2 hours?
Usually while I eat lunch, I was putting on the Great British Bake Off to watch while I eat, but I eat pretty quickly. And it didn't make sense to watch for 5 minutes. So now I just sit and eat for the couple minutes it takes. And then I'm straight back into reading or doing whatever I was doing before class.
Okay. Then back in class at 3.
Mm-hmm. Then I'm out around 5:30. And I usually will either walk home with friends or just take the bus home for dinner.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens after dinner? More studying?
Sometimes.
Once you get it done through the day, do you have free time after dinner?
Yeah, usually it's just sitting on the couch and thinking about what I should be doing and playing solitaire.
Okay. So that's the time that you could better utilize, right?
Yeah.
The time that would probably feel more fulfilling and help you fill this I don't get to do anything bucket. That's what you have to do. You have to really break down your day and look for where you are being inefficient with your time. You always want to be very intentional with how you spend your time, because you only have 24 hours in a day. You can't create time. So you want to use it the most efficient way that you can so that you feel like you've had a successful day. You've had a enriched day, whatever kind of day you're trying to create.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And all so right. When you're not spinning out, because you've got all this, you've got this great time blocking going on, you're not spinning out anymore. If you choose to play solitaire, you know, it's a choice. It's not, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to play solitaire. You know, I don't have any friends. I don't have anything to do. I'm missing out. I'm just going to play solitaire. It's not that anymore. It's like, you know what? I think I'm going to play solitaire tonight because I enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the time blocking I'll get, is that like in one of the videos, or is that in another?
It is in the time management course.
Okay. That sounds useful.
It is. It's a super useful tool. I don't want you to overwhelm yourself with work, though. Have you finished NoBS?
Not yet.
Okay. I want you to go to that after, just for now, mm-hmm. just look at that space of time between dinner and bedtime and yeah. figure out how you want to spend that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just do that enough. That works enough for now. When you're finished with no BS and you're rocking on the four basics and you've done your hunger scale challenges, which are coming up and all that stuff, just go back in and study the time management module, okay. a time management course.
Okay.
But for now, just get super intentional about how to create good, fulfilling downtime for yourself rather than okay. spin out time.
Okay.
That will also help your overeating, I would bet.
Yeah, because I tend to storm eat when I'm sitting there playing solitaire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're stressed out because you don't have any time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Kind of funny how that works out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you smile. I'm so glad to see you smile. What are you studying?
History.
History.
Yeah. Going for a PhD.
Do you have a particular time period that you study or that you enjoy?
Modern. And then I've mostly focused on Irish history, but I'm also looking at a comparative thing with borders, looking at the US-Mexico war.
Interesting. That's three
very different. Yeah.
So you said Irish history?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. If you ever come to camp, we're gonna have to talk about Irish history. You have to tell me everything you know. My dad's family comes from Ireland. They came over during the Tate famine.
During the famine, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Good luck. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, Tammy. You're next.
Hello?
Hey, there you are.
Oh, I haven't done it on my iPad before, so I'm like,
I feel like I just saw you.
I did. Which is why I'm here, because
okay.
my goal was not to hide anymore.
Okay.
And on my planning, I worked on my book.
Okay.
I practiced laddering thoughts before, so I figured I would follow up with my thing you coached me on before.
Okay.
So the bottom, I started with, like, get the autoimmune disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next rung up would be, I'm thinking a thought, I have not done enough.
Okay.
And the next one is, it's possible that what I have already done in my weight loss journey has stopped any forward progress.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to the idea. I may not improve my numbers, and that is okay.
Oh, good one.
I'm starting to believe I'm healthier today than I was 2 years ago, no matter what the numbers say.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one I put a question mark on, I am healthy.
Okay.
Should it be something closer to what I believe?
Well, let me ask you this. Well, okay, so for all the newbies on the call, a thought ladder takes you from that thought that you're thinking right now that really sucks, right?
Yes.
And it levels it up little by little to get to where you have this great, big, amazing unicorn thought at the top of the ladder, right? So tell them again what your bottom thought is. The bottom of the ladder thought is what?
I might get the autoimmune disorder.
I might get diagnosed with this autoimmune disorder. And the top is I'm healthy. Right? So since that was such a great big distance between those two thoughts, Tammy created all these thoughts that are just a little bit level up. Right? Did sure. you so how far up the ladder now do you believe?
The one right below.
You're all the way up to the one right below I'm healthy?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want coaching on the I'm healthy thought? Is that why you had the question mark?
Yes.
Who defines healthy?
I guess I do.
Yep.
So I'm giving it to the doctors, but.
Yep. And how would you define healthy?
pre-camp Tammy would be no autoimmune disorder.
Mm-hmm.
No, I guess I'm... So your question was, how would I define healthy?
Yeah. Let's say you get an autoimmune diagnosis. Can you still be healthy?
Oh. That's a tough one, because this autoimmune disorder would kill my liver. So I don't know if I got it, if I would truly believe I could be healthy.
And that's where your work is. There are people with autoimmunes all probably on this call, all over the tribe, all over the world, with all kinds of diagnoses that still believe they're living their healthiest life each day. Right?
Right.
So you get to define, regardless of diagnosis, you define what healthy means. And let's say you are diagnosed with, I don't know, let's say you get a cold. Are you healthy with a cold? If you decide you are, if you're, you know, if you're treating your body like it needs to be treated, you're giving it chicken noodle soup, take a little cough syrup, blow in your nose, do in your neti pot. You're doing everything you can to preserve your health with that cold, right?
Yes.
Same thing. I would offer to you that it's the same thing even with a potential autoimmune disorder. You're still, what you're probably going to do is research and see what foods you should be eating or not eating to promote health with whatever diagnosis it is. You'll probably try and get your sleep and your rest and take care of your body in any way you can. You would still promote health. Yeah, you're not going to start eating fried chicken and, you know, gumdrops if you get diagnosed, right?
Correct.
Right.
I mean, my body doesn't like those foods anyway, so.
Yeah, but you see my point, right? You're not going to go out and have a pizza for dinner every night just because, you know, you're thrown in the towel. You're still going to want to work on how to create the healthiest life you can, given your C-line. So maybe your top thought isn't, I am healthy. Maybe it's something like, regardless of diagnosis, I still treat my body in the best way I can, or I still feed my body the best way I can, or I still do everything I can to promote my health, or something like that.
Yes. I'm going to have to take notes on everyone.
Does that make sense? Does that help? Does that help?
It does. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Anything else?
That's it for today. I will check back in later.
Thanks. All right. So okay. See ya.
Bye.
So, Sasha, maybe I'm saying that right. You'll have to tell me. Trying to unmute you. It won't let me. Oh, maybe it's unmuted. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Hi there. Did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
It is Sasha. Okay.
Yes.
It's beautiful. How are you? You're welcome.
I'm nervous because this is my first time doing any kind of call and it's way out of my comfort zone.
Well, so. Super proud of you for getting on here. And it's just me. I'm the easy one. What's up?
Okay. So I have four kids, it range in age from 2 to 10 years old.
Okay.
And I'm at a point now where I dread when I wake up in the morning and I have that feeling a lot of the times until maybe, you know, at bedtime when everyone's gone to sleep, only because I feel like at that time, I feel like there's just, there's no time. I feel like the time is just to everybody else from that point, from the time I wake up. And I just feel like I have a lot of just frustration, anxiety. Right now I have a toddler and it's I'm just having a tough time with my toddler right now. And it's quite draining. And when he's napping, I try to get maybe something, some PMP work in, but it doesn't as go as what, I'm not able to get the amount of work in that I would like to. And then by the time the kids come home from school now, the other three, then I get anxiety and thinking, okay, now for sure, there's nothing happening until everyone's gone to bed, which could be 9 o'clock, say, you know, by the time everyone's in. And sometimes worst case scenario, 9:30, 10. Till I know that, okay, everyone's in bed and then I have no interruptions. But by that time, I feel like I don't have any energy then to do anything else.
Okay, so why does that cause you anxiety?
Because I'm trying to feel like where am I going to have that time to work on stuff that I need to do for myself? And I find it difficult to say, okay, I'm going to have this 10 minutes to work on this 10 minutes and work and get, you know, something done within that 10 minutes, because then I get distracted thinking about other things. I feel like I'm not productive when I have small chunks of time, because I could be thinking, okay, well, during that time, okay, well, I'm going to get interrupted soon. So I'm wasting my time thinking that I'm going to get interrupted, or just anything that goes through my mind. And then,
so you're unfocused when you have 10 minutes, you're unfocused because you're thinking about all the things that you want to be doing instead. Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that spinning that, who was I talking to? Madison was doing, right? You're spending time spinning out rather than using that time productively.
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, when the kids come home from school, then it's okay helping my, you know, my kindergartner now with homework or just anything. And then I'm thinking about dinner. Mm-hmm. If I don't get any of dinner stuff done during the time when my son is napping, it's like I feel like there's so many responsibilities or competing priorities, let's say, that I have to get done. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with them all because they're all, you know, of great importance.
Okay.
So
you have all these kids.
All these kids.
My daughter-in-law is fixing to have four kids. I had two, and that, and I'm guessing you you stay at home. You stay at home with the 2-year-old. Okay. And three of them go to school, and the 2-year-old stays home. And it sounds like he is a pretty active little guy. Huh?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, and then while he's napping or resting or not quite as active, you squeeze in little tasks here and there, or you think about squeezing in little tasks here and there, right? And some of it's food related and some of it's something else. But most of the time when he's inactive, you're trying to figure out what to do, and then he gets active again. So you're really not doing much, right?
I mean, the most, right. And then I mean, when he is napping, I might say I go and shower during the time he's napping, and then I might during that time have my lunch and then maybe start planning dinner stuff. Then I'm not getting in like other work that I need to really focus on, like PMP stuff.
So what's most important?
I would really like to do more PMP work during that time. But when I what I go to do that. I can't not shower during that time when he's sleeping.
Why not? You know?
And so, because I'll feel gross because I worked out in the morning.
So that's a choice you're making. You're choosing to shower.
Right. I'm choosing to shower during the time when he's sleeping.
That's fine. I'm with you on that. But that's just understand that, you know, that's your choice.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's the first thing you do when he goes down. What do you do next? Eat? Have some lunch?
Yep.
Okay. Another choice. Right. Right.
And then at that point, I'm thinking, okay, well, should I, you know, take care of my dishes now or should I leave it aside and go straight on to P&P work?
Okay. And this is where the problem is. You should decide ahead of time. Just like, do you create a 24-hour plan for your food?
I do.
Do you follow it?
I do. Lately, it's not been going so well. Honestly, okay. I started in June and things were going really well. Then August, I got sloppy. Then I went away. And then September, I didn't plan, probably planned like 3 days in September.
Which is so interesting. Because if June and July were great, all four kids were home.
Actually, they go to year-round school, so they're...
I was like, oh yeah. So. Oh, I thought, well, good grief. How'd you do that with all four kids home? So they get like 2 week breaks periodically, right?
They get 3 weeks every 9 weeks.
Okay, and when did the last 3 week break happen?
It ended September. Ended in September, basically. Okay. We went back in sometime in September.
All right. So
they've been back in 4 weeks now, let's say.
All right. Were you planning? Were you planning your food when they were home?
Not so much. This past month and a half has just been terrible.
Okay. And here's what I would offer to you. Decisions ahead of time are going to be your best friend. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because if you're making your decisions ahead of time, then you're not having to spend time making decisions. You can move right into action. So that's why we have you guys make a 24-hour food plan. Mm-hmm. So if you were to go ahead and decide that tomorrow morning, do you eat breakfast?
Not really so much. Not food-wise, like coffee.
Okay. Tomorrow morning, you're having coffee for breakfast.
Right.
You're having peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a bag of chips for lunch. And you're having, whose was it? Petra's pork cutlets and some macaroni and cheese for dinner. Boom, decision's made. Mm-hmm. You can decide now. That's what tomorrow's food plan looks like. That takes all that effort out of making decision about food for tomorrow. You've just already decided it. You can do the same thing with your time. You can say, what's your son's name? The 2-year-old?
Liam.
What a great name. When Liam goes to bed, I have a list of 5 things. I'm starting at the top. I'm going to get as much done as I can. First is shower. Then I'm going to eat. Then I'm going to listen to one OBS lesson. Then I'm going to do the dishes. Then I'm going to, what would be the 5th thing? Load of laundry. Let's just say we'll do a load of laundry. Right. Okay? If you get through all 5, great. But now you're not spending 10 minutes trying to figure out which of the 5 to do first. And then 10 more minutes figuring out which of the 5 to do second. You've already made the decision. Your brain is going to want to go, but Sasha, is that the right choice? And you're going to say, yes.
What happens with me is I get carried away. So say if I do the one thing and I might be like, okay, well, let me add in something else. So I might have that pre-planned 5 things, say, for example, a day. And then it's just... I might get to go into and then I just continue on because it's like just in that mode.
Well, then that's when you put your headphones in and you do the dishes while you're listening to the second one.
Yes.
You know, I mean, but seriously, it just, it has to become non-negotiable, just like your plan is. You know, I'm a busy mom. I got this 2-year-old that's running around and he's nuts. I got to make the best use of my time that I can. And what's most important to me right now is getting my shower and getting some food and listening to a little Corinne. Because that's how, honestly, that's how you're going to get the rest of your life together. She's like super smart. Right? And, you know, it's like I was telling somebody earlier in the call, you learn how to follow the 4 basics But then you come into P&P and we teach you why you're not following the basics. And for you, it's because you're spending this time not making these decisions ahead of time and not staying true to the plan. Okay, so to be committed to yourself and to your P&P, you need to really make sure you're committed to your time plan and your food plan, mm-hmm. right? Because you're wasting a lot of time thinking about what you need to be doing instead of doing it.
Right.
That's where you spin out. And you're probably snacking when you're spinning out because you're stressed out.
Exactly.
Yeah. In the meantime, Liam's over here catching a nap, feeling real good, and he's ready to get up and rare and tear. And you hadn't gotten anything done because you've been spinning out trying to figure out what to do. Right?
Right.
And then the rest of the kids come home and it's on to homework.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Just remember, you have 100% control over your time. You're not at the will of Liam or the other three kids. You're sitting down and choosing to help your kindergartner with her homework. I don't remember if you said
his
homework. Do you have four? Please tell me you don't have four boys. Do you have four boys?
Well, two boys, two girls.
Two boys, two girls. Okay. I was like, whoa.
But the boys are the two younger ones.
Yeah. Well, just wait. The boys grow up and they get on in Cub Scouts and soccer teams, and then you're going all over the place too. But it's fun. I always said with my kids, I used to say, this is such a fun age. About every little while, I'd say, it's such a fun age. But anyway.
Well, three of them are already in stuff, so that's another thing that adds on to everything.
Right.
And then gymnastics and soccer and mm-hmm. dance. So
that makes it even more important for you to make sure you know ahead of time how you're going to spend your time. Because you have to find those nooks and crannies of time and use them to keep up with your work at home, with your laundry and your dishes and your P&P work. Does that help?
It does. But my question is this, like when I have those thoughts, you know, when the time's coming closer to when they're going to be coming home or coming off the bus, you know, that, oh no, now that, you know, yes, I'm happy to see, but at the same time, it's just like, you know, this is it. I'm
done for the day.
Done for the day, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just,
let me ask you this. If you got those five things done while Liam was sleeping and you were ready for the kids to get off the bus, what would your thought be?
And I'd feel accomplished.
Yeah. So maybe while you're figuring that out, your thought when they get off the bus, when you're not quite done, is I'm figuring this out because one day those kids are going to get off the bus and I'm going to feel like a rock star because I've got my work done today. Isn't that one of Corinne's favorite thoughts? I'm figuring this out. Because you can. Maybe it means you get up half an hour earlier. Maybe it means you go to bed half an hour later. Maybe it means Liam helps fold the laundry. Or, yeah, I don't know.
He'll unfold them. As I'm folding them, he'll unfold them. So.
Yeah. Maybe you give him a towel and he, you know, plays with the Tupperware while you're doing the dishes. Here, help mommy, you dry this one. You know, who knows? So many things you can try and so many ways that you can make sure that you're following your own schedule. You just have to open your mind to it instead of being so overwhelmed that you're not doing anything, because that's what's happening. You get overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed, you don't do anything. You just spin out.
Exactly.
Get yourself out of overwhelm by doing that next best thing. That's why I told you to make that list. Okay. And you tell yourself, when I start to feel overwhelmed, I start at the top and I finish one thing, or I work on one thing and I just work my way down the list. You might only get two or three things in before Liam gets up or before the kids get home, but that's okay because you got two or three things done.
And it's important too that I have to put a time on how much I do each thing, because I, as I said, I can go overboard and then not get the other things done.
Right. You got this.
Time management course.
Listen, it's awesome. It's awesome. But I really want you to make sure you're good in your basics. The most important thing first. Okay. You can learn how to better manage your time. But for now, focus in on that. How long does Liam sleep? A couple of hours?
Well, most times I can get him to do at least two.
Okay.
No, that would be the max, but an hour and a half to two would be it.
Okay. So think about
by so quickly.
It does, because you're sitting there going, I don't know what to do. Right? Yeah. You're wishing it away. So think about what you can get done in that 2 hours. Maybe it's, you know, how long does it take you to shower and get dressed? Maybe you can cut 5 minutes off that time because you're not worried about what to wear. You just throw on the first thing.
Right.
You know, maybe you can plan an easier to fix lunch. You know, maybe, who knows? Just try some different things. You'll figure it out.
Okay.
Does that help?
Right. Yes. If anything else, I'll post or come back again on here.
Do. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy.
See ya.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Jermo. You're next. Sounds like a screen name. And then Joanne, and then Ina. I'm not sure what just happened to my Jermo person. You may have gone away. You're not here anymore. Maybe you put your hand down. All right. Raise your hand if you come back on. Joanne, let's do you. Hello.
Hi, Kathy.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Okay. So I am basically in the same place of just total mess. Like, I've been doing this for, you know, it's been over a year. So that was April of 2018 or maybe May. But I just keep going back and forth, up and down. And now I'm just like every day I'm trying to make a plan, but I'm just, my head is not in the game. I'm trying to watch videos. I don't even know where to start. It's like every caller that I've just watched had something that spoke to me, but I keep like, okay, it's Monday. Maybe I should just do keto. Maybe I need to do intermittent fasting. I got to get back on track. Like, I'm almost back to the weight that I started at. So I just feel like today I've been feeling just completely defeated. Like, I don't think I can do this. Like, why don't I get it like everybody else? And why can't I don't know how to just, I just can't get this, my head on this. Like, I can for a couple months and I do great. And then I fall off track and get back to this place of just despair, defeat, like, you know, and then I'll look at the Facebook page and be like, what, why is everyone else getting it? I can't do this. I don't know how to even begin again. And I keep writing plans every day, like stupid plans, like, okay, today I'll intermittent fast. Then the next day, it's just not even realistic, or my questions don't mean anything. I'm just not even really there. And my two accountability partners are struggling also. So we're all looking to each other. I'm like, I'm going to find Kathy freaking Saturday or whatever. So here we are.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Well, let me make this statement first. The problem is not that you don't know what to do.
Right.
The problem is that you make the mistake or the falling off or whatever mean that you can't do this.
Right.
Okay. That's what the core of it is. You're not accepting the fact that you're not perfect at this. So if you fall off plan or eat off plan, let's just call it eat off plan. Fall off plan sounds like it's something that happens to us. If you eat off plan, what should the next thing be?
To make the next best choice.
Right.
You Which know, I've never done.
And that's your choice.
Right.
You're what you're doing is you're choosing to say, well, I'm off plan. I may as well eat all the things for days and weeks.
Months,
right? You're not allowing yourself the grace to eat off plan. And I mean this, allowing yourself the grace and compassion to eat off plan and be okay with it. Mm-hmm. You eat off plan and you make it mean that you can't do this.
Right.
This is your pattern. This is, you know, every time we talk, this is what it is, right? You're not allowing, you're not accepting that you're going to eat off plan sometimes or overeat sometimes or binge sometimes or not get your water in sometimes or whatever it is that you don't do perfectly on that day. You're not accepting that that's okay. It's okay to be imperfect.
Right.
Because if you accepted that, the next food decision would be the best decision you could make. The next plan would be realistic. That's the other thing. Sounds like you're making a lot of unrealistic plans. Which means you're not going to follow them, which means you're going to go down the shitstorm spiral some more.
Right. Like my head is so screwed up. I can't.
Your head's not screwed up. Your head's not screwed up. Don't tell yourself that.
I can't make a plan that's normal. Like, oh, I'm.
But you can. Let's do this. We're going to make a normal plan. Let's do it right now. What's normal plan mean, Joanne?
Well.
Tell me what you ate today. Tell me what you ate today.
What that means anymore. Oh, today?
Yep. Tell me what you ate today. Did you have breakfast?
Since I was intermittent fasting, no, I did not have breakfast. I had pierogies at lunch because I saw on Facebook that it was National Pierogi Day.
I don't even know how to spell that. Okay. Pierogies. What is a pierogi? Is that those potato noodle things?
It's like a potato, mashed potato inside of a ravioli is what it's like.
Oh, that's really tasty. That sounds delicious. Okay.
Really good. Really good.
All right. So National Pierogi Day. We could have planned really well for that, right? All right. So lunch was pierogies. Did you have a snack? Or do you have anything else with them?
No, just the pierogies.
Any snack?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, snack slash dinner was an ice cream.
Okay.
And then I had some wheat thins.
Okay.
This is all sort of like, I picked up my son, we got an ice cream after his appointment, wheat thins, and then some spinach dip, just crap, and then a Reese cup.
Okay.
And then then my husband came home and had a normal, like a nice dinner. I started taking bites of his dinner, which was like salmon and vegetables. And then I had some Swedish fish.
Okay.
And that's.
All right. That's so if this had been your plan today.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very realistic. You would have had no breakfast. Do you usually eat breakfast?
It varies. Not usually.
You had your very poorly spelled pierogies for lunch. Then you had these things for snack, ice cream, crackers, spinach dip, and some candy. And for dinner, you had salmon and vegetables. This is a realistic plan for Joanne, where Joanne is today. It's not intermittent fasting. It's not keto. It's not any of those things.
Right.
But you look at this plan and you think, that sucks. Nobody should eat that. Right?
Right.
Well, that's what you ate today. So that's realistic for you. What if I were to tell you, I expect tomorrow's plan to look exactly like this? Well, maybe not the pierogies because it won't be National Pierogi Day.
Yeah.
But what could lunch be tomorrow?
Probably salmon and orzo salad that I already have here prepared.
Are you really going to eat that tomorrow for lunch?
Lots of times I do. Like
The answer is yes. That's what I'll have for lunch tomorrow, Kathy. Okay.
Yes, Kathy, that is what I'll have for lunch tomorrow.
See, commitment.
Yes.
What about dinner? Do you have dinner planned?
Just trying to think what tomorrow, Wednesday. No dinner planned.
What's in the fridge or the freezer that you could pull out? I have
ground turkey and spaghetti squash I have that I could make a meal with.
Will you do that?
I could, yes. I should do that because my husband is a little sick of salmon too. I could definitely do that tomorrow.
Okay. So this is what tomorrow's plan needs to look like. What's important about it?
It's realistic.
It has all these snacks on it. Right? You keep the snacks on the plan until you're ready to leave the snacks off the plan. Right now, you're not ready. They need to be there because that's what you're doing. Okay, now, you're going to look at this plan tomorrow and you're going to either say, oh my gosh, thank goodness all those snacks are there, or you're going to say, what the hell, Joanne? We're not eating candy today, but well, I sure would like some spinach chips and some crackers. That sounds good.
Right.
Have to meet yourself where you are now. If you're eating, if this is your plan now, intermittent fasting and keto is not going to do it for you. You're not going to make that jump. Where you are right now is realistic planning with the snacks. Because I'm thinking that's what you're judging, right? You're judging the snack section of the plan.
Mm-hmm. It's not even a snack. It's like, I'm not hungry. I'm just eating this crap and I feel so ashamed and all my clothes are tight and it's the whole shame cycle I keep doing over and over. Mm-hmm. And I know that Heidi put up a post about one time that she had this terrible storm eat and then that was it and she was done and moved on. And I was like, oh, that's so great. I love that. I stay in the cycle for months.
Mm-hmm. You're choosing to stay there.
Right. And then Corinne said, isn't that great that you get to keep eating when you're in the shame cycle? I guess, right?
I get all the spinach dip and Swedish fish I want when I stay there. How about this? How about we put them on the plan and come out of the shame cycle? Right. What if you divorced yourself from the shame cycle and just put them on the plan and said, this is where I am today. And I'll work my way back up to maybe an apple for a snack or some carrots or something, or just spinach dip or just ice cream. Just one snack.
My problem is, Kathy, I don't understand how I get here every time. Like, how do I go from here to here? Like, it happens so fast, and like, I lose all consciousness. I can't even catch it. It just seems like, and then I just start looking for the solution outside of myself. I never try to, and then I just think I'm so defective. This is the one thing I can't get. Like, it just starts this whole circle again and again. This has been my pattern for...
It's because you believe you're defective.
Right.
It's because you have that core belief. You're always going to fall in the pattern as long as you continue to feed that core belief.
Right.
Have you ever even considered that you're not defective, that you're normal? Or that you're responsible? Or that you're grown, or that you're, you know, you can take ownership, that you can change somewhat, that thought?
Somewhat through PNP, I just recognized like, okay, yeah, this isn't, you know, at times I felt like this, there was hope and that I could get through this. I wasn't effective in this way. But then when I end up back in this shame cycle of binging or just these storm eats and then I think, oh, I'm never going to get this. And it's...
Well, let me ask you this. At some point, you come out of these shame cycles, right? Mm-hmm. How do you come out?
I don't really know. Like, I'm not able to get out of this one. This has been...
You come out because you change your thought. Right. There's something in your thinking, and it could be, I'm sick of this. I'm out. Yeah. That's probably what it is. You get tired. You get sick of yourself.
Yes.
I had a client. If she's listening, she's going to know I'm talking about her, but I'm not going to give her name. She had the most amazing assignment in private coaching. And I think this would be something that you could do with your accountability group if you choose to do so. She did the self-love prompts every day, you know, from the self-love course. Yeah. Day one through day 31. Every day she'd do the next one. She'd, you know, look it up. She'd answer the questions. She would get on Marco Polo with her accountability partner, who was me at the time, because she was my client, and she would read me her answer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Through the course of the month, she began to see a difference in herself and the way she felt about herself. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometime through the course of the month, maybe day 21 or 22, she hit a roadblock. She woke up depressed. She has issues with depression. And she said, I'm trying so hard to get myself out of this. I'm trying so hard to change my thoughts so I'm not depressed today. And I said, don't. I want you to stay depressed today. I want you to sit with depression. And she's like, why? And I said, because you need to learn how to feel that and be okay with it. So in other words, give yourself the grace to be depressed. For you, you give yourself the grace to be imperfect, mm-hmm. right? By noon, she was slacking me, Marco Polo, I don't remember which one it was. And she said, I'm sick of myself. I don't like this. I'm done. And she turned it around right there. But that's what it takes, is being okay with your imperfectness and saying, it's okay. I can give myself the grace to feel a little shame right now, but I don't like the way it feels for very long, and I'm ready to move on. What you do is you go so deep into the shame that you get angry that you're shamed, and you get mad that you're shamed, and you're defective because you're shamed. You're resisting the shame. You're not saying, I feel pretty crappy right now. Because when you start to allow it and feel it, you realize you really don't like it, and you're able to move on. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do. That's how you pull yourself out of a shame cycle. You just don't realize you're doing it. You get tired of feeling the shame. You get tired of it. You're like, I'm sick of being here. I'm ready to create a realistic plan and move on with life. I'm ready to smile more. I'm ready to show up for myself more.
Right.
So why do you go through these cycles? Because you're normal.
I feel like, though,
because you're not. Huh? You feel like
I'm never going to get to my goal with this shit. Like, I see, you know, people on the page and stuff, and they've talked about not being perfect and all those things, but I feel like I've never made enough progress. I've backslided so far so many times that I don't know that I'll ever get to that. I feel like I'm never going to get to the other side of it because it's such a far backslide. Like, maybe some people gain 2 pounds. I don't know. I just feel like it feels like my issue is not like other people's. That's what I believe. Like, okay, well, maybe they backslid a pound or two, but I'm back up again, you know.
What if I told you had to lose and gain weight 10 times for it to stick? Would you do it 10 times?
I'd say I'm already on like the 7th time, so only 3 more to go.
What would you do it 10 times? To learn enough about your patterns to go down and stay down?
Yeah. Yeah. Can I ask you this too? Because this always stuck in my head.
Wait just a minute, because okay. I have a model for you that I really want you to see. You've said this thought like 4 or 5 times. I'm never going to get to the other side.
Right. That's what I think every day.
That's what you believe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That feeling causes shame or despair or something equally as, you know, sad. The action is to hide and to eat.
Yep.
And the result is you never get there.
Right.
Right? You keep nurturing this thought, you're never going to get there. Because you keep telling yourself, I'm never going to get there.
Right.
Right? That's the cycle you're in.
That's it, right there.
Mm-hmm. So how do you stop this? How do you pause this model? If you had to guess, if you were coaching me and I was saying, Joanne, you've gotten out of the shame cycle 7 times. Tell me how to do it. What would you tell me? Yes, you do. Take a guess. Give me some wild ass crazy advice about how to get out of my shame cycle. What would you tell me to do?
Oh, I'd say start again tomorrow, or I'd say just do one thing. Just start with your water. Just cut the shit. I don't know.
Yeah. So what if I were to tell you, okay, Joanne, tomorrow you've got your plan and you're going to do your water. That's all you need to do. What would you tell me?
That's not enough, Kathy.
That's not enough. That's right. Because you know why that's not enough? Because I'm never going to get to the other side just doing that.
Right. Yes.
And you see me pull the bullshit light on your thinking here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if whatever I tell you is not going to be enough, then you're just going to stay in the cycle.
I know.
And the cycle's easy because all you have to do is eat.
Right.
And whatever you want. Swedish fish, spinach dip, ice cream, salmon off your husband's plate.
Right.
Are easy. So why not just stay there?
Yeah.
Because you don't like it.
Right. Stay there. I don't like it. But I just can't even like articulate how I have gotten out of it every time. It's kind of almost like an end point. Like, okay, I'm done. I'm just going to do this. And then I'll do whatever for a while. And then.
Let's model that. I'm just going to do this. If that's how you get out, mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm just going to do this. What's that thought, feeling?
The feeling can be hopeful or
ready?
Yeah, ready.
Mm-hmm. And when you're ready to dump the shame cycle, what do you do? What's the action line?
I make a plan.
Okay. What else?
Stick to it. Do make a plan, drink my water, TDL.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Result does that create?
Feel good.
Yeah.
I lost weight, but then I was maintaining weight for a while, which was great too. Just seeing, okay, I can maintain this weight. I was maintaining my weight for a good 6 weeks after I had lost about 12 pounds. So I was happy with that, but I did lose weight. But just feeling better, the result of just feeling more in control and just better, not, and feeling like, right now I feel in despair and hopeless around this issue.
Okay. So here's your model. Okay. We're back to Joanne and P&P. I'm done. I'm just doing this. That's the thought that gets you out. You said ready. Action line is the basics, basically, pretty much. And the result line is that you're actually doing it and you're not in the shame cycle. Okay. So you have exited the shame cycle. Mm-hmm. All right, now, here's some model ninja skills for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
If tomorrow you just did these actions and you didn't feel or think either of these things. You just said, doggone it, I'm just going to sit in my crappy diaper and I'm going to do these actions. Mm-hmm. What does the action line create in the model?
The result.
Right. And when you create the result, all of a sudden the thought starts to become believable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Because if you do these actions and you realize, you know what? I'm back on plan. I'm doing this. Oh, wait. I could just do this. I'm just going to do this becomes what I'm doing.
Right.
So sometimes you have to move straight into your action line to get out of your shame cycle. Because your shame cycle is probably just a bunch of overwhelm anyway. Now, this action line here doesn't need to be intermittent fasting, doesn't mean it need to be the next best diet plan, doesn't need to be keto, doesn't need to be all that diet mentality junk that we've talked about on this call. It needs to be your basics. Mm-hmm. It needs to be super duper realistic with all the snacks, all the everything.
Okay.
Because you have to show yourself, like I've talked about, you have to show yourself a little bit of, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be committed to it this one day, and show yourself that you can be, so that you can create that result that, you know what, I'm doing this and I'm ready to get out of this shame cycle. You are ready to get out of the shame cycle because you're on this call.
Right. I had to stop you.
You've hit, I'm sick of myself. I need to talk to Kathy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
I want to ask you this though. I thought okay. I heard you say this once. Did you say that when you used to eat and binge that you didn't get into shame, that you were just like, oh, you just kept moving on? Did you say that? Or did I imagine? Like you didn't.
To me, there's a difference between overeating and actually binging. Okay. And I think the difference, you can binge so hard that you hit a shame cycle. I would overeat and not beat myself up over it. I would just like work through the kitchen, hope nobody caught me, and then move on to the next thing. There was not a lot of shame associated with it. Okay. I don't know why. I guess I didn't. If I were to guess why, it's because I came from a family of overweight people. Mm-hmm. And my dad was 400 pounds when Jason was born.
Okay.
He had two brothers and a sister. One of the brothers and the sister were also very overweight. My grandmother, his mother, when my mom would leave the house, she'd get in her suitcase and pull out boxes of Twinkies and we would eat them together. Okay. Uh-huh. So that's what I grew up with. I grew up with people who were overweight. So it was normalized to me.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't really think about any shame with regard to overeating. If I had to guess, that's what I would think about, that it was just normalized behavior.
I think
part of me wants to try and apply that to everyone here on this call and in PMP, if you can consider what you do in your overeating habits as normalized behavior, then there is no shame about it. There's only correction. There's only, yeah, this is what I do. And you know what? That's what keeps my weight on. Maybe I should stop.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I like that correction instead of shame, because I had a completely different upbringing of shame and being, you know, my mother was thin and my father had up and down weight issues. And so that's really interesting to look at.
My father, one time when I was about 10 years old, I was still living in Rhode Island and I moved from Rhode Island when I was 12. I remember exactly where he told me, where I was sitting on the couch in our basement. He told me that if I didn't start watching more about what I ate, then I was going to grow up big like the rest of the family. And that's the only time he ever talked to me about that. And then he turned around and put on a whole bunch of weight after that. So
yeah,
if I could gift all of you with the gift of considering yourself, instead of shameful, considering yourself, this is just my habit, this is what I've normalized in my life. Mm-hmm. Now that I see it, I can begin to work on it. If you can cut out all that shame and judgment, then you've removed a whole layer of work and you can just get started on the eating. Right? Because that shame and judgment part is just that thick layer of tar that lays on top of the actual overeating issue that you really want to get down to.
Right. That's true.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right, Kathy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to have to go out to my car and throw out the Swedish fish that I hid under the seat of my car.
Well, ask yourself this when you're throwing them out. Are they really that good?
Yeah, no, they're gross. I don't want them on there. I want them on there.
All right. You take care.
All right, you too, Kathy. Thank you.
Bye. All right, I'm going to take one more person since we're getting close to 8 o'clock, and that is Ina.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. It's kind of exciting to talk to you. Thanks for staying up late.
You're welcome. Have I talked to you before? It seems like I've seen your name before. Did I say it right?
You did. You said it great. I've been a member for a year, and this is my first time ever calling in or doing anything.
Wow. Okay. So what can I help you with?
Well, so I totally feel Joanne's pain, you know, because it's kind of a similar boat, but I joined as a groupie almost 2 years ago, and I managed to lose about, 44 pounds. And then I got really close to my goal weight, and it must have gotten scary. And then I think I started judging my goal weight. And so I started, you know, backsliding a little bit. And I've now lost about, it's been a total about 35 pounds lost total, but it's been stuck there for a year. A whole year. So I actually joined a year ago thinking, I'm getting stuck. Let me join and make it official so I don't quit. So I haven't quit. And I feel like I can do it. I feel like it was so easy losing the first, 40 pounds. And mm-hmm. I didn't have to do all that much. And it was really just eating 2 to 2. Mm-hmm. And so now, I'll do the same thing Joanne did. I'll make a plan. And I'll be, I'll stick to it for about a day or two, and then I'll sort of forget about the plan, or I'll just grab ass all day long, so I'm either all the way in, if I do no sugar, no flours, it feels like I need to do something drastic to get through it now, but I'm not even sticking to the basics, so it seems stupid to do something drastic because I'm not even doing the basics.
I was totally going to say that.
I know. And then
forget the basics and just do keto.
Exactly.
Right?
Let's do something insane, last fast, and not eat sugar and give up everything. Yes.
Only eat when we're standing on our head.
Yeah. All the crazy, right? So I believe wholeheartedly if I can just stick to the freaking basics or even 2 out of 4 or even mm-hmm. some of them consistently, that it's going to work. I believe it's going to work, but here I am a year later, just kind of bouncing between the same 5 pounds mm-hmm. for a year now,
So why aren't you sticking to the basics?
There'll be days I drink.
You can't say I don't know.
Okay. I don't. Okay, why am I not sticking to the basics? The plan part, I commit to it, and then the next day, even if I make it that morning, by the time I get to lunch, I'm like, nah, I don't want that salad with chicken anymore, and this other thing I can have will be just as good, and I'll just substitute it, and I think, well, that's just as healthy, or I'll get all the way through it, and it will be so great, and then I'll just Grab has a handful of chocolate chips, and I'll go, well, it's just like a couple of chocolate chips. It's not a big deal. I just want a little something. And then next thing you know, it's like three handfuls of chocolate chips. And next thing you know, the chocolate chip bag is migrating from the cupboard high up to like on the counter to where, you know what I mean?
To the desk, to the bathtub, yeah.
Yeah. So instead of the shame cycle, uh-huh. I'm so compassionate with myself.
You're in the justification cycle.
Exactly. I'm like, it's fine. I'll try again tomorrow, or I'll try again at the next meal.
So you know why your weight loss has stalled.
Because I'm not doing the stupid thing.
Right.
The funny thing is, I wasn't really, and I think what must be stuck in my little head is that, I wasn't really doing all the basics when I lost 40 pounds. You know, I wasn't writing it down then. I wasn't drinking all the water then, and it still worked. So why is it not magically working? And I know that I need to level up. You know, like I know that. I know.
So how much more weight do you want to lose?
Originally, my plan was just from where I started, like the 47 pounds, because I did that birthday thing. I was like, 47 pounds for 47.
Yeah.
But realistically, I feel like I could really lose from where I am today, like at least a good 20. So okay. I'm now down about 35 or 38 from where I started, which is awesome. I've never maintained this much weight loss for so long.
And you've eaten chocolate chips.
I know, right? Life is good. But
So let me ask you this. Which is more important to you in the long run, losing 20 pounds or eating chocolate chips whenever you want them?
So, of course, in the long run, the long range goal is more important.
Mm-hmm.
But in that short run, right, then I think, okay, well, I'll have these chocolate chips and I'm just moving the goal back one more day. And as long as we're so gracious with, you know, Corinne says, well, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to do it. I go, that's right. Like I use the good information and twist it to make it.
But you know, you're doing that.
So I know it, and I still do it.
You're doing that. You can say, wait a minute, that's not today. There's no chocolate chips. I mean, you pretty much have to stand up to yourself. Here's what I would do. Seriously, here's what I would do.
Okay, tell me.
If you are so full of all these justifications and excuses, I would write down every single one of them. Every single one of them that you can think of. I bet you've got at least 30, don't you?
I have.
You might even have 40.
The most is just that either it doesn't matter or it's just a little thing, mm-hmm. right? The other things don't even matter as much because, or I know it when I'm doing it and I just go, it's just a little thing.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, I don't even need 30.
Okay. So take it's just a little thing.
Yeah.
And then write all the reasons why it's not just a little thing.
Okay.
I mean, this is what you really need to write this out. My hands look huge when I do this.
It's okay. It's all right.
You really need to write this out. You're hilarious. When you tell yourself it's just a little thing, ask yourself, is that the truth? And then if the answer is no, write all the reasons why it's not the truth.
Okay, but here's the thing. Is it not just a little thing when it's just the little thing? It's just the accumulation of little
things. Right.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why it's just a little thing. It's just a big lie you tell yourself.
Yeah.
Because if it was just one little thing, sure, be fine. But for you, it's a little thing three times a day, every day, or whatever it is that's keeping you in maintenance and putting on a pound or two. So really, it's not just a little thing. It's a lot of little things.
It is a lot of little things.
It's a lot of little things.
There's
a lesson in No BS called Big and Little Quits.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're little quitting yourself right out of weight loss.
And that's why I was thinking, well, maybe it's related to that thought that original thought that the original goal wasn't going to be good enough. You know, I've been keeping people up to date, like, hey, I'm 40 pounds or hey, I'm 44 pounds. And I got to the point where I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to post my before and after picture, which, you know, was a pretty sizable transformation still, and thinking they're going to judge the after. You know, that the after is still not after enough. Like, it's still not good enough. So then I think I pulled back, like, subconsciously from getting there because it wasn't enough.
Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. Sounds to me like you just got lazy with your plans.
Maybe. Well, yeah, I wasn't really doing them. I wasn't sticking to, yeah. You know, and I don't know why I don't stick to them, because I make them. It's my choice.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty realistic when I do it, but I'm definitely not planning 3 handfuls of chocolate chips because I don't feel like that's going to get me past the line.
It would be super fun for you. Are you going to create a plan for tomorrow?
Yes, ma'am.
I want you to put 3 handfuls of chocolate chips on it. Seriously.
Oh, I can't for tomorrow. Tomorrow's Yom Kippur. We're fasting tomorrow. Plan for tomorrow is easy. The day after.
Okay. But seriously.
Yeah.
Go ahead and put 3 handfuls of chocolate chips on there and see what kind of hula hoops your brain jumps through.
Yeah. Now the brain's amazing.
Because you'll be like, what? I don't think you're either going to be like, woo, 3 handfuls of chocolate chips. But what is probably going to happen is you're going to look at that and you're going to say, this is not how I lose 20 more pounds. This is not even how I maintain my weight. What's this doing on the plan?
Yeah.
Because what you've done is you've put it up in this front part of your brain and taken it out of the primal brain.
Yeah. I think I'm feeling like the same thing that Joanne was feeling. I feel like 20 more pounds, that's a lot. That's going to be hard, you know? And once I start thinking it's going to be hard, then I don't want to do it, you know?
Well, if you were able to kind of wishy-washy your way through the basics and lose 40 pounds,
yeah,
who's going to want to dial in, right?
Right, totally.
Now, I want you to really think about it, though. Did you really wishy-washy your way through that first 40 pounds, or did you actually do the things?
I pretty much was able to two-to-two a good bit of it. You know, like, I actually got to feel the hunger and got to be like, I'm okay with this hunger, you know, like...
Right.
That kind of stuff, like,
so you didn't wishy-washy your way through it. You stayed in your hunger scale.
Right. I did. So I stayed, you know, I at least did some of the things.
Right. Right.
All of the things. And I've been trying to be better with my sleep.
Imagine what you could lose if you did all the things, girl.
I know. It's crazy, right? I know. Okay.
20 pounds,
some of the things. At least gonna do some of the things, but I just say that a lot, and I got my planner out a year after getting, you know, and I wrote down the things and I filled out the things, but it's so inconsistent. So just, I'm working on it. I will try.
Make it realistic and decide that this is what you're gonna do. You said, so interesting, you said tomorrow is Yom Kippur, so it's fasting. Does that mean fasting all day?
All day. So no food from sundown to sundown for 24 hours. Just once a year. Yeah. Once a year. Yeah. Right. And
so why are you able to do that and not stay out of the chocolate chips on a regular day?
You would be surprised at the amount of mental gymnastics and arguing I do with myself all day long. Like, some people are very good at the fasting, and I'm like, well, nobody's really, I guess I should. It's just once a year, you know, but honestly, like most people, I don't know what most people
do. But you have the mental gymnastics and you complete the fast.
Yeah.
Why can't you be that committed on Thursday?
I think the thing is, I feel like I can do anything for one day or...
Well, I'm not asking you to fast on Thursday. I'm just asking
I know,
a plan you can follow.
I think that's the thing about the commitment, though, right? Like, if you say, you know, can you do it on Thursday? Sure. But if you say, can you do it for the next 5 months to get to your 20 pounds? Then I'm like, well, I don't know. No. That's...
I'm going to tell you my favorite Mary Jo story.
Okay.
Mary Jo quit smoking years ago. I don't know how many years ago. She could tell you. Probably down to the date, because she's hilarious. But she said, today I'm going to quit smoking. And she put the cigarettes down and she said, today I'm not having a cigarette. And she didn't have a cigarette. She got up the next day and she said, today I'm not having a cigarette. And she didn't have a cigarette. And she got up the next day and guess what? Today I'm not having a cigarette. That's how she quit smoking. She didn't say, I'm never going to have a cigarette the rest of my life.
Right.
She kept it focused on the right now that she could control right this minute. Today, I'm not having a cigarette.
Sorry.
So, tomorrow?
Hang on. Go. Take the dog. Sorry. Real life.
So, tomorrow, you're going to fast. Yes. And you're going to fast because it's what you believe in.
Yes.
And then Thursday, you're going to create a plan and you're going to follow it. A realistic plan. And you're going to follow it because that's what you believe in.
And because I put 3 handfuls of chocolate chips on it.
So right. It'll be right. If that's realistic for you, that's what goes on the plan. Okay. And then on Friday, you're going to create a realistic plan. And you're going to say, this is one I can follow just today. Okay. Following this plan today.
Okay.
Stop thinking about 5 months.
Because it's late, but I might have to call back for some follow-up at some point.
You're awfully giggly.
To talk to you. I feel like I've known you for 2 years on, you know, over podcasts and things.
Well, you know, it's funny, at camp, people would come up to me and go, I feel like I know you. And I'd say, you do. Because it's just me. And you hear about all my stuff all the time.
Yeah, we all have the stuff. I know. I just want to get past this little, like,
one
I'm so
day
bad.
At a time. Realistic one plans day. One day at a time.
Zen, happy.
You got it. Okay. And got seriously, it. if you can commit to yourself for fasting for Yom Kippur, you can channel that same type of commitment into your eating every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want you to put your brain to work on how you can.
Okay.
Okay.
I will do that.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, a couple Q&A. Let's see what we got here. I never plan my eating, so I am always struggling with what to write as I'm not sure what I will eat. I am planning on getting more organized, but meanwhile, cooking in advance what I do have in the fridge, I don't like eating. So just in the beginning, what is the simplest way to keep me in momentum? Can only write protein or +2 or eat +2, etc. Also, if I level up something for one day, would I have to do it always? Like walking, I put on a plan and Okay. I think I understand the question. So I'll address the leveling up first. No. If you put walking on your plan and decide to run instead of walk one day, you do not have to run instead of walk for the rest of ever. Okay. So you can always level up what you have on your plan. You don't have to level it up forever. As far as such a great question about, I'm not sure what I will eat. I always want to ask you why. Why can't you just, you're going to make, at some point, you're going to make a decision what you're going to eat. Okay? Like tomorrow, I'm going to decide what I'm going to have for breakfast. And I can tell you it's either going to be oatmeal or it's going to be eggs and bacon because that's every day for me or every weekday for me. So I can either make that decision at mealtime or I can make it when I do my 24-hour plan. Same decision. And I just decide if it's going to be oatmeal for tomorrow, which it probably will be because the bananas are good. It's really how I make my decision. Then when it comes time for breakfast and I'm hungry, I've already decided it's going to be oatmeal. There's no negotiating. That's how you lose weight. You stop negotiating. So this, I don't know what I'm going to feel like eating thought that you have, you kind of have to set that aside. All right. If you think, I don't know what I'm going to feel like eating, you are probably reacting to something going on around you. Or you're stressed out and you don't know, or you want to take the reactionary food decisions out of your brain and you want to make them all very conscious decisions. And that's why we back the decisions up to a 24-hour plan. If it's lunchtime tomorrow and you've planned steak and a baked potato and somebody comes through and says, we got fried chicken in the break room. Are you going to feel like the steak and baked potato? Or are you going to feel like the fried chicken? And does it really matter? That's the point. For me, I would say, thank you. I've planned steak and baked potato. That's my lunch today. So the whole feel like eating thing, I think, is really becoming more of a reactionary decision with your food rather than an intentional decision. And if you eat with intention, you're going to eat between your twos, you're going to plan, and you're going to find success in your weight loss. If you don't eat intentionally, if you eat from a reactionary standpoint, then it's not going to be as easy. I don't understand what I do have in the fridge I don't like eating. Why is it in your fridge? I wouldn't stock what I didn't like. Or I would stock what I did like. Maybe that's what I would do. If that's what your family likes to eat, put something in there that you like to eat that you can fix. So I hope that helps. I don't buy into the, I don't know if I'm going to feel like eating it, because it doesn't matter if you feel like eating it. If you're eating to fuel your body and you're putting things on your plan that you like, it shouldn't matter, because if it's something you really want, you can plan it the next day. Hope that helps. All right. That's it. I hope you guys have a great evening. I ran a little long. Sorry about that. What's coming up this week? Tomorrow is Wednesday. Hey, guess what? I'm back tomorrow. So if I didn't get to you today, seriously, noon, I'm doing Corinne's noon call tomorrow. I think there's one person scheduled, so there will be some office hours opportunities. Then on Thursday, Betsy is doing Corinne's Q&A. Corinne is in, she's out of town this week, going out of town tomorrow for a few days. So Betsy's doing Q&A on Thursday at 9 on the Taking Control module. Saturday, Betsy will be back with office hours at noon. And then Sunday, there is another noon coaching call. I believe I'm doing that one as well. So you get a lot of Kathy this week, right? And a lot of Betsy. Also, for all you Queens Club people, don't forget tomorrow night's Q&A. All right. I think that's at 6 tomorrow night Central. All right, everybody. Have a good evening. I'm going to go say hi to my husband. See y'all.